Building on Foundations for Eternal Life, Chapter 5, Growing in Understanding and Wisdom, Proverbs 3:13-15, ESV. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. End of verses. Growing in understanding and wisdom is a key aspect of growing spiritually. Consider your own salvation. How did it happen? I suspect it followed this pattern. Bullet point, you learned various truths about Jesus and about salvation through faith in Jesus. You learned that he is the Christ, the Son of God, Lord of all, that he died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins, that eternal life is given to all who follow him. Stated somewhat differently, you gained knowledge about Jesus and salvation. Bullet point, you understood that those truths applied to you. You were lost apart from Jesus, and you understood that you needed to follow Jesus in order to be forgiven of your sins and be saved. Bullet point, you chose to act on that understanding and chose to follow Jesus. Putting understanding into practice is roughly how I have defined wisdom. You acted with wisdom when you chose to follow Jesus. Bullet point, you experienced new life in Jesus. You were born again. End of bullet points. A similar process is usually involved in spiritual growth after salvation. An improvement in spiritual experience generally follows an increase in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, putting new understanding into practice. Regarding spiritual growth, it should be apparent that faith is an important component of spiritual growth. We have already discussed how faith is closely associated with spiritual knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Faith involves knowing, understanding, and acting on spiritual truth, similar to how wisdom involves knowing, understanding, and acting on truth in general. Faith is not just having intellectual knowledge and understanding about spiritual truth. Faith involves a strong belief that affects how we live. Many people look for spiritual experiences to happen ahead of or independent of faith and wisdom, but that is not usually how it happens. Improved spiritual experience usually comes after we act in faith on new understanding. Sometimes this involves new grace from God, but usually it involves new understanding of grace that God has already given all believers through Jesus. Consider Peter's words in 2 Peter 1:3-4 ESV. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. End of verses. God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If we find we are lacking in this area, it is not because God is withholding something we need. Rather, our lack is likely due to not understanding and applying grace that God has already made available to us. For example, many believers may not experience deliverance from the power of sin when they are first saved. They usually know that their sins have been forgiven through the sacrifice of Jesus, but they may not experience freedom from the power of sin. Experiencing freedom from sin does not normally involve new grace from God, but rather involves understanding and applying grace that has already been given. Freedom from the power of sin often involves deeper knowledge and understanding about how we each died with Jesus, counting his death as our own death to sin, and learning to walk in that truth, wisdom. This topic will be discussed more in Chapter 20, Spirit and Flesh in Conflict. So we see that spiritual growth is often associated with an increase in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Failure to grow in these areas may seriously hinder spiritual growth. A new section titled Chapter Summary. We now turn our attention to how we can grow in the areas of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. We'll be looking at various scriptures to see the many ways we can grow in these areas. While in a theoretical sense, God is the source of all knowledge and understanding, in a practical sense, God calls us to cooperate with him in growing in these areas. We need to depend on God while actively being involved, similar to the situations mentioned in this verse. Psalm 127:1 ESV, Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. End of verse. This verse is not saying we should expect God to build us a house without our active involvement, or to trust God to watch over the city without posting a watchman, but rather to depend on God for success while we actively participate. Likewise, Scripture calls us to actively participate in growing in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, as the following pages will show. This is a long chapter. Depending on how well you already know Scripture, how mature in faith you are, and how much time you have to read this book, you may want to skim parts of this chapter, or maybe even skip the rest of it for now. Maybe come back to it later if you have time. To help you make that decision, here is an outline of the rest of this chapter. This is simply a list of all the subheadings. Please understand, knowledge is just a starting point. Acknowledge and respect God. Know you can be deceived. Know your need. Be honest with God. Understanding comes from God. Ask God for understanding. The Holy Spirit. Look to Scripture. Do it and know. Delight in understanding and wisdom. Gifted teachers. Good relationships. Listen to advice. Different viewpoints. Observation and reason. Not by worldly learning and philosophy. Don't reject truth. Don't be proud. Affliction and suffering. Wisdom makes right choices. Wisdom chooses God's way. Jesus. It seems rather sobering how many aspects there are to growing in understanding and wisdom. Perhaps this subject is not as simple as we first thought. A new section titled, Please Understand. Before we look at the many ways we can grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, I need to address a problem that requires your understanding. Let me try to explain. I have defined knowledge, understanding, and wisdom as knowledge, various truths known by an individual. Understanding, knowing how to use knowledge effectively. Wisdom, having knowledge and understanding and putting them into practice for right living. However, it appears to me that where the Bible uses the words knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, it often does not adhere to my narrow definitions for those words. There seems to be more overlap in how these words are used in the Bible than how I have defined them in this book. I think this issue goes beyond Bible translations and is inherent in the original writings and the original languages. I'm pretty sure this is not just a translation problem, though translations likely contribute to the problem. It goes deeper than that. It is a problem with language itself. In particular, the words wisdom and understanding often seem to be used somewhat interchangeably in Scripture. The word wisdom in Scripture often is used with a meaning that is close to my definition of understanding. Likewise, the word understanding in Scripture sometimes seems to be used in a way that is close to my definition of wisdom. Using imperfect languages to communicate truth is difficult, partly because the meanings of many words are partly dependent on the context they are used in. Also, words may have somewhat different meanings or connotations to different people. Then there's the problem of translating from one language and culture to another language and culture. Things can get very messy very quickly. Even though my definitions of knowledge, understanding, and wisdom are not always the intended meanings of those words as used in Scripture, I hope you agree with me that Scripture does often discuss the concepts associated with my definitions of those words. In this chapter, I hope to show the many ways Scripture indicates we can grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, and to show the importance of doing so. I won't be concerned about whether particular usages of words like wisdom and understanding in Scripture correlate completely with my definitions. That's not the point. The point is to see the importance of acquiring those kinds of things and how to grow in those kinds of things, regardless of the specific words used. A new section titled, Knowledge is Just the Starting Point. Before we dig into Scripture, let's look at some practical aspects of how knowledge, understanding, and wisdom relate to each other. While it is possible to have knowledge without understanding, it is normally not possible to have understanding without at least some knowledge, since understanding involves knowing how to apply knowledge effectively. Likewise, it is possible to have understanding without wisdom, but it is not normally possible to have wisdom without at least some understanding, since wisdom involves putting knowledge and understanding into practice for right living. As already mentioned, our goal should be to have wisdom, to consistently live according to good knowledge and understanding. However, we can't skip acquiring knowledge and understanding and go directly to having wisdom. Understanding must be built on a foundation of knowledge, and wisdom must be supported by understanding. However, don't be discouraged if you think you have little knowledge. While knowledge is necessary to grow in understanding and wisdom, knowledge is not usually the weak link in the process of gaining wisdom. It seems to me that most people have much more knowledge than understanding and wisdom. A little knowledge, understood well and put into practice, is much more valuable than lots of knowledge not understood well or not put into practice. So don't be discouraged if you think you have little knowledge. Rather, focus on understanding what you do know and put it into practice. Doing so will make you much wiser than many people who have lots of education and scholarly degrees, but who don't put their knowledge and understanding into practice. Now let's look at Scripture for various ways we can grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. A new section titled, Acknowledge and Respect God. Scripture says, Job 28:28 W.E.B., To man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To depart from evil is understanding. Psalm 111:10 W.E.B., The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. All those who do his work have a good understanding. Proverbs 1:7 ESV, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10 NIV, The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Proverbs 15:33 W.E.B., The fear of Yahweh teaches wisdom. Before honor is humility. End of verse. A proper respect for God is foundational to knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Do not expect success in growing in these areas without this key perspective in your life. A new section titled, Know You Can Be Deceived. We can be deceived both in our knowledge and in our understanding. Consider Solomon's words in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 ESV, There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. End of verse. People following the way to death generally don't have a proper understanding of key spiritual principles. They think they are on a path to life. They may know many spiritual truths, but they fail to understand them in a way that leads to salvation rather than to death. This is not a matter of failing to exercise wisdom, failing to do what we understand we should do. Rather, it is a failure of understanding, for it is a way that seems right. People following the way that seems right think they are on the right path, but they aren't. They are deceived. They lack true understanding. Deception will be discussed in more detail in part 2 of this book. A new section titled, Know Your Need. An important step toward acquiring true knowledge and understanding of a subject is to know our own lack, to realize our need for more, and to seek after knowledge and understanding. Consider these verses. Proverbs 2:1-5 ESV, My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Proverbs 4:5-8 W.E.B. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget and don't deviate from the words of my mouth. Don't forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is supreme. Get wisdom. Yes, though it costs all your possessions, get understanding. Esteem her, and she will exalt you. She will bring you to honor when you embrace her. End of verses. Fools tend to do the opposite. Proverbs 18:2 ESV. A fool takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing his opinion. End of verse. A new section titled, Be Honest with God. Part of walking in wisdom is having right relationship with God. Scripture often speaks of how God helps us to grow in understanding and wisdom as we walk in right relationship with Him. One of the keys to right relationship with God is being honest with God. God values honesty. He is not pleased when we aren't truthful with Him. Most of us understand that God sees everything. We can't hide anything from Him. As David wrote in Psalm 139:1-4 NIV, You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. End of verses. A lack of honesty with God simply hurts our relationship with God. Being honest with God shows we trust Him with our problems and builds a relationship. Consider these verses. Proverbs 16:13 NIV. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value the one who speaks what is right. Psalm 15:1-2 NIV. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one who speaks the truth from their heart. Psalm 145:18 ESV. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Psalm 32:5 WEB. I acknowledged my sin to you. I didn't hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to Yahweh, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. End of verse. Consider especially that last verse. I acknowledged my sin to you. I didn't hide my iniquity. Are you having trouble with sin in some area of life? Who of us doesn't have some weakness we deal with? Don't try to hide this from God. Confess it to Him whenever it comes up. Whenever that weakness surfaces, use it as a reminder that it's time to speak to God truthfully about it. Do it as often as it comes up. You can start each time by saying something like, Oh God, here's that problem I need help with again. And remember, 1 John 1:8-9 ESV, If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. End of verse. A new section titled, Understanding Comes from God. Do you recall how Jesus' disciples seemed to be slow to understand things before Jesus' death and resurrection? For example, when Jesus spoke of His upcoming death and resurrection, Luke records this in Luke 18:34 NIV. The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what He was talking about. End of verse. But after Jesus rose, that's a different story. What was the difference? Many would say the difference is the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that is true in many ways. However, Luke records something that happened before they were filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost in Acts 2, Luke 24:45 WEB. Then He opened their minds that they might understand the Scriptures. End of verse. Jesus opened their minds that they might understand. That is a critical key to understanding. In this case, the ability to understand clearly comes from God, and apparently that ability is not given to everyone. Consider some more verses which indicate that understanding comes from God. 1 Kings 4:29 ESV. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure, and breadth of mind like the sand of the seashore. 1 Kings 10:24 ESV. And the whole earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put into his mind. 2 Chronicles 9:23 ESV. And all the kings of the earth sought the presence of Solomon to hear his wisdom which God had put into his mind. Psalm 25:8-9 NIV. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore He instructs sinners in His ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them His way. Proverbs 2:6 NIV. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Daniel 1:17 ESV. As for these four youths, God gave them learning and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. 2 Timothy 2:7 WEB. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. 1 John 5:20 ESV. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. End of verse. A new section titled, Ask God for Understanding. Since God is clearly a factor in gaining understanding, it seems obvious that we should ask God for help in this area. Here are some verses that support this. 1 Chronicles 22:12 ESV. Only may the Lord grant you discretion and understanding, that when He gives you charge over Israel, you may keep the law of the Lord your God. 1 Kings 3:9-10 ESV. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this your great people? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. Psalm 25, 4-5, NIV. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Psalm 119, 27, ESV. Make me understand the way of your precepts, and I will meditate on your wondrous works. Psalm 119, 34, ESV. Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Psalm 119, 73, ESV. Your hands made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Psalm 119, 125, ESV. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Psalm 119, 144, ESV. Your testimonies are righteous forever. Give me understanding that I may live. Matthew 7, 7-8, ESV. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Colossians 1:9, ESV. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. James 1:5-8, ESV. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. End of verse. A new section titled The Holy Spirit. While understanding often appears in Scripture to come directly from God, it is also associated with God giving us His Holy Spirit. Those who truly trust in Jesus have received the Holy Spirit, who dwells in all true believers, per Romans 8:9. The Holy Spirit teaches us, reminds us, helps our understanding, brings us freedom, and gives us power. John 14:26, 1 Corinthians 2:12, 2 Corinthians 3:17, and Ephesians 3:16. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:13, ESV, When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. End of verse. I believe that same help is available to us today. As we individually abide in Christ and learn to walk by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. The Apostle John gives some additional perspective in his first letter, 1 John 2:20-21, WEB, You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. I have not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. 1 John 2:26-27, WEB, These things I have written to you concerning those who would lead you astray. As for you, the anointing which you received from him remains in you, and you don't need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it taught you, you will remain in him. End of verses. John reminds us that there are many false teachers in the world who would lead you astray. See also Acts 20:29-31, 2 Peter 2:1-22, and Jude 3:19. To avoid being deceived, we should each learn to be led by the Holy Spirit rather than just depend on other people to lead and teach us. Here are some additional verses about the Holy Spirit giving understanding. Exodus 35:30-31, ESV. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship. 1 Corinthians 2:12, ESV. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. Ephesians 1:16-18, ESV. I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? End of verses. So, we see that understanding is often given by God and is often associated with the Holy Spirit living within us. Now let's look at some ways God calls us to cooperate with him in growing in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. A new section titled, Look to Scripture. Scripture is clearly an important source of spiritual truth. By looking to Scripture, we can grow in both knowledge and understanding. Consider these verses. Psalm 119:104 ESV. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Psalm 119:130 ESV. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. Psalm 119:169 ESV. Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Give me understanding according to your word. Acts 17:11 ESV. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. 1 Corinthians 10:11 ESV. Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 ESV. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Mark 12:24 ESV. Jesus said to them, Is this not the reason you are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God? End of verse. While simply reading scripture is likely beneficial, it is often more beneficial to reflect on scripture, meditate on scripture, and memorize scripture. Consider these verses. Psalm 119:11 WEB. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Psalm 119:15 WEB. I will meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. Psalm 119:98 ESV. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. Psalm 119:99 ESV. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Proverbs 4:20-22 NIV. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Proverbs 22:17-18 WEB. Turn your ear and listen to the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my teaching, for it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you, if all of them are ready on your lips. End of verses. A new section titled, Do It and Know. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, in John 8:31-32 ESV, If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. End of verses. If you abide in my word may be translated as, if you hold to my teaching, per the NIV. I understand those verses to support this. Doing what Jesus says to do will lead to increasing knowledge and understanding, and that will lead to great freedom. James encourages us with similar words in James 1:22 ESV, But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. End of verse. Just listening to truth can lead to deception. To avoid deception, it is important to be a doer and not a hearer only. We must put what we know to be true into practice if we expect to continue to grow in knowledge and understanding. A new section titled, Delight in Understanding and Wisdom. Do you delight in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom? Or do you prefer ignorance in some situations? If something in your life is displeasing to God, do you truly desire to know the truth about it and deal with it? Or do you avoid the issue? Consider these verses that focus on delighting in God's ways. Psalm 112:1 ESV. Praise the Lord! Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. Psalm 119:16 WEB. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Psalm 119:24 WEB. Indeed, your statutes are my delight and my counselors. Psalm 119:72 WEB. The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of pieces of gold and silver. Psalm 119:97, W.E.B. How I love your law, it is my meditation all day. Psalm 119:103, ESV. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119:131, W.E.B. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Psalm 119:140, W.E.B. Your promises have been thoroughly tested, and your servant loves them. Psalm 119:162, W.E.B. I rejoice at your word as one who finds great plunder. Psalm 119:163, ESV. I hate and abhor falsehood, but I love your law. End of verse. If you find yourself to be weak in this area, ask God to help you to delight in his words and his ways. Make a conscious choice to seek after truth, even though you may not have a strong desire to do so. As we grow in understanding and wisdom, we should increasingly delight to do things God's way. Consider these verses that focus on delighting to do things God's way. Psalm 1:1-2, ESV. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 48, ESV. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. Psalm 119:14, NIV. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. Psalm 119:35, NIV. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Proverbs 10:23, NIV. A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. End of verse. Note in that last verse that a fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes. Many people delight in doing wrong rather than delighting in doing what is right. Solomon also wrote this about such people in Proverbs 2:12-15, NIV. Wisdom will save you from the ways of wicked men, from men whose words are perverse, who have left the straight paths to walk in dark ways, who delight in doing wrong and rejoice in the perverseness of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. End of verses. Desiring to do things God's way not only involves wisdom, but also involves love for God. Recall what Jesus said in John 14:15, ESV. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love for Jesus naturally results in a desire to please Jesus, which naturally leads us to do things his way rather than our own way. This, of course, relates to the greatest commandment in Matthew 22:35-38, NIV. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. End of verses. John said it this way in 1 John 5:3, ESV. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. End of verse. A new section titled, Gifted Teachers. Some people have been gifted by God to have special ability to communicate spiritual truth and understanding to others. We would do well to learn from such people, while being careful to not be deceived by false teachers, or by true believers who may be deceived in some areas. Consider a few verses. Jeremiah 3:15, ESV. And I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Ephesians 4:11-12, ESV. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. 2 Timothy 2:1-2, ESV. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Romans 12:6-7, ESV. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them, if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching. 1 Corinthians 4:1, ESV. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. End of verse. So, we should take advantage of opportunities to learn from others. A new section titled, good relationships. One of the reasons God has directed His people to meet together is to encourage one another and help each other grow in knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Consider these verses. Proverbs 13:20 ESV, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Philippians 3:17 ESV, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Hebrews 3:13 ESV, "But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Hebrews 10:24-25 ESV, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." 1 Corinthians 15:33 ESV, "Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals." A new section titled, "Listen to Advice." One of the characteristics of people who are wise is that they listen to advice. Consider these verses. Proverbs 12:15 WEB, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who is wise listens to counsel." Proverbs 13:1 WEB, "A wise son listens to his father's instruction, but a scoffer doesn't listen to rebuke." Proverbs 19:20 WEB, "Listen to counsel and receive instruction, that you may be wise in your latter end." Proverbs 23:19 WEB, "Listen, my son, and be wise, and keep your heart on the right path." A new section titled, "Different Viewpoints." One common problem many people have is a tendency to listen to only one viewpoint about various subjects. Often, that viewpoint is simply their own viewpoint. It's common for people to tune out other perspectives and only listen to what they already agree with. One way to gain understanding is to listen to differing perspectives with the intent to understand why people view things differently. Consider what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 18:17 ESV, "The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him." End of verse. Scripture doesn't appear to repeat this truth much. However, I think we can all affirm its truth based on personal experience. Most of us have had reason to change our understanding about something when we hear a different viewpoint that is explained clearly. Consider an example from Scripture, which is often referred to as the Gibeonite deception, recorded in Joshua 9. Some Gibeonites pretended to come from a distant land to make a treaty with Israel. Joshua and his people only heard the one viewpoint and did not ask counsel from the Lord, Joshua 9:14 ESV. They didn't properly understand the situation and made a decision they later regretted. They didn't look for an alternate viewpoint. What is the obvious lesson here? We should always seek to know God's perspective and embrace it. As Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3, 5-6 ESV, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths." A new section titled, "Observation and Reason." Consider the tremendous amount of scientific knowledge and understanding that is now available. This has been developed by many people over many years, largely through experiments, observation, and reason. These are valuable tools in acquiring knowledge and understanding in general, and these tools are not limited to scientific topics. Observation and reason are tools we can use to learn spiritual truth as well as truth about the natural world. Consider these verses. Psalm 19:1-2 NIV, "The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they reveal knowledge." Romans 1:19-20 ESV, "For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For His invisible attributes, namely His eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse." Proverbs 6, 6-8 NIV, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest." Proverbs 22:3 ESV, The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. Proverbs 24:30-34 ESV. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. End of verses. In those last verses, please note that he saw and considered it and received instruction. Even a wise author of Proverbs used observation and reason to grow in understanding. In the English language, the word reason has multiple shades of meaning. Something can be said to be right or wrong for some reason. We can use reason to logically arrive at a new truth based on what we observe or based on other truths we already know. We can also reason with other people to try to convince them of things we believe to be true, and other people can reason with us to try to persuade us also. Here are some more verses relating to using reason. Proverbs 18:17 ESV. The one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. Proverbs 25:2 ESV. It is the glory of God to conceal things, but the glory of kings is to search things out. Acts 17:2-3 ESV. And Paul went in, as was his custom, and on three Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead, and saying, This Jesus, whom I proclaim to you, is the Christ. Acts 18:4 ESV. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. End of verse. How important is it that we use our reasoning ability to understand spiritual things? Consider Jesus' words to the Pharisees who failed to understand the signs of the times. Matthew 16:1-4 ESV. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and to test him they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. He answered them, When it is evening you say, It will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be stormy today, for the sky is red and threatening. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. So he left them and departed. End of verses. Jesus said similar things to the crowds that followed him. Luke 12:54-57 ESV. He also said to the crowds, When you see a cloud rising in the west, you say at once, A shower is coming, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, There will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? And why do you not judge for yourselves what is right? End of verses. The people Jesus was speaking to had knowledge about the present time and signs of the times through simple observation, but they didn't try to interpret that knowledge to gain understanding. They apparently preferred ignorance over understanding. Jesus was not pleased with that. He appears to rebuke the crowds for not judging for themselves what is right in Luke 12:57. A new section titled, Not by Worldly Learning and Philosophy. While observation and reason are valuable tools, we should be aware of how reasoning can be distorted and misused. Reasoning based on worldly perspectives or human traditions may result in deception rather than true understanding. Consider these verses, Colossians 2:8 NIV, See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:18-25 ESV. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Timothy 6, 20-21, ESV. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge, for by professing it some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. End of verses. So, avoid worldly reasoning and ask God for understanding about how to avoid such deceptions. A new section titled, Don't Reject Truth. So far, we have mostly focused on things we should do to acquire understanding. It is important also to consider what we should not do. Similar to how God gives understanding to those who diligently seek Him, God appears to actively hinder the understanding of those who reject truth. Consider this passage of Scripture speaking about unbelievers. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-12 ESV. The coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing, because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore God sends them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. End of verses. Those who refuse to love the truth are sent a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is false. It appears here that God purposely hinders the understanding of people who reject truth. Consider Jesus' words to his disciples after speaking the parable of the sower and the seed in Matthew 13, 10-15 ESV. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" And he answered them, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear, but never understand, and you will indeed see, but never perceive.' For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them." End of verses. Again, we have the sense that understanding is withheld from some people. In this case, it is people whose heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed. These people have apparently previously rejected truth, and are unable to receive new truth. For an additional perspective on this subject, see Proverbs 1, 20-33. So, do you truly want understanding? Be careful not to reject truth. A new section titled, Don't Be Proud. Pride, meaning a haughty attitude, is another thing that can hinder understanding. Luke 10:21 NIV. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do." End of verse. Here Jesus indicates that God reveals some things to little children while hiding them from those he calls wise and learned. Apparently, the wise and learned are proud in their own knowledge and do not humble themselves before God to obtain true understanding. This is consistent with other verses dealing with pride and humility. Proverbs 3:34 WEB. Surely he mocks the mockers, but he gives grace to the humble. 1 Peter 5:5 ESV. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. End of verse. So, do you truly want understanding? Be careful not to be proud. Aim to be humble. A new section titled, Affliction and Suffering. Consider some of the most valuable things you have learned. Were some of them learned because of affliction or suffering? We may not like it, but hardship is often an effective teacher. Sometimes God uses difficulties to teach people truth. Consider these verses. Psalm 78:34-37 NIV. Whenever God slew them, They would seek him. They eagerly turned to him again. They remembered that God was their rock, that God Most High was their Redeemer. But then they would flatter him with their mouths, lying to him with their tongues. Their hearts were not loyal to him. They were not faithful to his covenant. Psalm 119:71, ESV. It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Ezekiel 33:29, ESV. Then they will know that I am the Lord, when I have made the land a desolation and a waste because of all their abominations that they have committed. Isaiah 26:9, NIV. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Hebrews 12:5-11, ESV. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. James 1:2-4, ESV. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. End of verses. A new section titled, Wisdom Makes Right Choices. Again, please recall how I have defined wisdom. Wisdom, having knowledge and understanding and putting them into practice for right living. Living by knowledge and understanding involves right actions. We have already discussed that some in Chapter 4 when we introduced wisdom. It's not enough to just know truth and understand how it can be used effectively. We must choose to apply our knowledge and understanding to make right choices that result in right living. This involves choosing to do the things we understand we should do, and choosing to not do the things we understand we shouldn't do. Consider these verses that encourage us to make right choices. Joshua 24:15, ESV. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Psalm 25:12, ESV. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. Proverbs 1:29-31, ESV. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despised all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. Proverbs 3:31, ESV. Do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. Proverbs 16:16, ESV. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. End of verses. Some people seem to be waiting for God to make right choices for them, waiting for God to somehow override their free will. However, the scriptures are full of verses instructing us how we should live, because the choice whether to do so or not is ours. When scripture tells us to do something, it is a good indication that God will not do it for us, but rather expects us to make a choice to do it ourselves. Generally, God will not make those choices for us. Yes, there are many things we don't have a choice about. Some things may be determined by God, while other things may be determined by other people or by circumstances beyond our control. But there are many things about which we do have the ability to choose. Here are just a few of the many verses in Scripture instructing us about things we should be making right choices about. Romans 6:13, ESV. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. Ephesians 4, 1-3 ESV, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 1 Peter 2:11 ESV, Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18 ESV, Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. End of verses. Doing these kinds of things involves choosing to exercise our will to make right choices. If we are truly Christ followers, we have the Holy Spirit to empower us to be able to make right choices. However, the choice is still ours. Where Scripture urges us to do something, the choice is ours whether or not to do it. Wisdom makes the right choice and looks to the Holy Spirit for strength to do it. A new section titled, Wisdom Chooses God's Way. Part of making right choices is affirming that God's way is always the right way, whether God's way makes sense to us or not. Recall what Solomon wrote in Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 ESV. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. End of verse. Wisdom involves knowing God's ways and choosing to do things His way, even though another way may seem right to us. Wisdom relies on God's understanding ahead of our own understanding. Consider this verse again, Proverbs 3, 5-6 ESV. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. End of verses. Consider also what a psalmist wrote about knowing God's ways and living accordingly. Psalm 119:33 ESV. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end. Psalm 119:44 NIV. I will always obey your law, forever and ever. Psalm 119:60 ESV. I hasten and do not delay to keep your commandments. Psalm 119:100 ESV. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. Psalm 119:101 ESV. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. Psalm 119:102 ESV. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. Psalm 119:112 ESV. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the end. End of verse. Note especially that last verse. The psalmist is not requesting for God to incline his heart to keep God's statutes. Rather, he is making a choice to incline his heart himself and is declaring that choice. Finally, consider Jesus' words in Matthew 7:24-25 ESV. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. End of verses. A new section titled, Jesus. There is a sense in which Jesus coming in the flesh and dying on a cross for us reveals, or is, wisdom from God. Consider these verses, 1 Corinthians 1, 20-24 ESV. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. 1 Corinthians 1, 30-31 ESV. And because of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. End of verses. In this section of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 1:18-31, Paul contrasts the wisdom of this world, verse 20, with the wisdom of God, verse 21. The wisdom of this world considers the message of Christ and the cross to be foolishness. True wisdom knows that Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. In closing this chapter, consider again the value of wisdom. Proverbs 3:13-15 ESV. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. End of verses. For further reflection, ask God to show you if you have rejected truth or understanding in the past. Ask God to show you if pride hinders your understanding. Ask God for understanding. Are there important areas of your life that you don't have much understanding about? If so, consider asking God for understanding specifically in those areas. Are you walking in wisdom? If not, what new choices should you make to start walking in wisdom?